First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 1st, 2013. Guest speakers, David and Susan Blazer.
Join me in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to be here. And we want to just say that how thankful we've been to have this church as a supporting church for many, many years. The church started supporting us back, I think, about 41 years ago, and has done so for most of these years that we've been in Brazil, and we've been thankful for that. This morning, we want to briefly share a few thoughts from God's Word, and, God's been very faithful to us, and I've chosen some verses and portions of Scripture that not only speak of God's faithfulness, but our faithfulness. Are we really faithful to the Lord? And that would be our challenge to you this morning. I'd like you to take your Bibles and open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. To start with, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, the first two verses of chapter 2, "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Faithful men and women. God desires that of us, and He has chosen faithful men down through generations to share His word, to teach others. In this verse 2, the Apostle Paul actually mentions four generations. As he said, the things that you learned from me, Paul, and he's talking to Timothy, he said, take those things and teach faithful men who will be able to teach others. And so we have this idea that God's word goes from generation to generation as faithful men hear, learn, obey, and then teach the next generation the things of the Lord. We have a wonderful example of the Old Testament, especially in Hebrews chapter 11. That entire chapter is what we call the faith chapter. It starts out with kind of the definition of faith, and then it mentions all kinds of examples. And we won't take a lot of time this morning, but I'd love to just kind of go through all of these different people that are mentioned, starting out with Abel, going down to Enoch, Noah, Abraham. Mentioned Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, another lady, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, people who were used of God through many, many generations to learn, to then teach, to be examples to others of the things of the Lord. They weren't perfect. And you can ask my wife, I'm not perfect either, or ask my kids, but desiring to be faithful, to teach, to prepare others, to continue on a ministry to other generations. So we have this wonderful chapter in the Bible of faithful men and people who, one way or another, pleased God, were obedient to God, were faithful to the Lord in their generations. Some of them, like Abel, we don't know a lot about it, but the fact that he got killed, that's what most of us remember about Abel, but it said even though he's dead, he yet speaks. Why? Because he brought to God the sacrifice that God demanded. He was obedient in that. And so it pleased God. Enoch didn't even die. He walked with the Lord took him to heaven. Noah, he said he preached for over 100 years, and the only ones that got saved were his own family. Under that ark, we're saved, but we're all descendants of that family, and we should be thankful that Noah was faithful to God to build that ark, to save his own family, and a man who in his generation was religious. Abraham, the call of God, went. He didn't even know where he was going. But he went out and followed the Lord. Sarah, it says, she considered God faithful, an example of faith herself. Sometimes we think more of her not believing God, laughing when God told her she didn't have a child. But the Bible uses her as another example. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the patriarchs, Moses. Quite an example. Young fellow, I mean, he was raised in the palace of the king of Egypt. And when he came to be of age, he made a choice to become part of a nation of slaves rather than live and enjoy the pleasures of the king. I don't know how many today would want to make that kind of a choice. But faithful, greatly used of God to lead his people. Joshua took over after Moses' death and led the people into the promised land. Women like Rahab, not very highly followed in many ways among the streets, but she looked at people who were coming to conquer and realized that they knew and served the living and true God. And on through prophets, judges, kings, people who were used of God in many, many ways in their generations to tell others about the Lord. One of the Psalms, I'm going to read a few verses, but in Psalm 78, the first verses, to me, kind of follow this theme in a great way. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, if we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Once again, that whole idea of knowing God, learning of him, and then translating that to another generation, so that they can tell another generation, and that people still unborn will have opportunity to hear the gospel. And that's the challenge for each of us. Our generation today, are we going to be faithful to commit the things that God has taught us to others so that they can teach another generation the things of the Lord? And if our nation, if our people fail, just like of old Israel so often, you know, a generation grew up and didn't know the Lord. They hadn't witnessed some of the things. And unfortunately, some of those older people didn't, in some way, commit to their children and grandchildren the things of the Lord, and they forgot, and they started following other gods and doing living wickedly, and God punished them. And we need faithful men and women in this generation to be faithful to the Lord as well. You go on through the New Testament, you have many other examples, the apostles, Paul, and Stephen, Philip, and Solomon, we could mention, that continued to learn from Jesus himself and continue to teach. I'm thankful for those that taught taught me as a child. And this morning, I want to list, just get a short list of some of my examples. The Bible in chapter 11 of Hebrews gives God's examples of faithful men. And I'd like to just mention a few that, in one way or another, have been examples to me. And like Paul said to Timothy, I want you to be an example. There have been those who have been special people in my life. I want to mention a man I never knew. He was, I think he was my great-great-great-grandfather. But as a young person, he was one of the charter members of the First Baptist Church in Perry. And my grandmother, I think, was his granddaughter or great-granddaughter, whose name was Hezekiah Fagan. But to see a number of generations of a family in a church teaching their kids and grandkids and so on. And my mother was raised by parents who were also in that church at one time. It's interesting, my wife actually graduated from the same high school that my mother did. But he was a member of the same church my mother was for a period of time. But as an example, boy didn't know him personally. He died long, long before I was born. Some of those other people, I did know other generations of the family. My own parents, my dad, kind of the opposite of my mom, was raised by a rather pagan father. Never went to church as a child, and never heard the gospel until he was a senior in high school. And his baccalaureate service for his senior class, he heard the gospel, understood that, and was saved. But my mom and dad went to Bible school, graduated from Johnson City many years ago, and took on the challenge of becoming missionaries to the Columbia Basin over in Eastern Washington, where my dad pastored for many, many years. But my mom and dad encouraged us as children to learn the Word of God. I learned to read around the family circle, as did most of us 8 kids, reading God's Word. By the time I went to first grade, I knew how to read. Didn't have kindergarten back in those years. But my mom and dad prayed for the kids. And a couple things I remember, they prayed for the kids, if possible, to go to at least a year of Bible school. And most of the 8 of us did. And they prayed that God would take somebody to the mission field. And God has answered that prayer in our lives. But examples to me. Others like Pastor Malcolm Lange, who a few might remember. I worked for 2 years with Malcolm in, at Valley Baptist in Seattle, and he was nearing retirement. Many considered him to be quite a character as a pastor and so on. But a man who wasn't saved until he was about 40 years of age, and went to Bible school after that. And he said he was a grandfather before he graduated from Bible school. But he went to pastor for many, many years, and quite an example to me, giving me an opportunity to put into practice things I learned in Bible school. I went to Bible school for 5 years. I probably learned more in the 2 years after that working with Malcolm, but kind of putting a lot of stuff into practice, getting ready for the mission field, and but quite an example to me. I could list many others, teachers, people who had an impact on my life. This last couple of weeks, my wife and I attended 2 funerals. Ladies that I have known for many, many years. One of them was a neighbor when I was a child. Went to meet the Lord, but a lady who worked with Child Evangelism Fellowship for many, many years. Quite a testimony over in the Columbia Basin. Her folks were neighbors of ours. When I was little, I used to call her dad my uncle, because we lived a long ways from family. But people like that. The other was a prayer warrior that prayed for us during all the years we were missionaries. She and my mom, her name was Mary, She and my mom, between 8 and 8:30 every morning, were on the phone praying for us and for others, for missionaries, for their church. Her memorial service was just 30. A lady that loved the Lord and wanted to follow Him herself, but prayed for us. You know, we're going to miss people like that that pray for us. I knew every morning she was praying for us. And now she's in glory waiting for us. But those are some of my list of faithful men and women, people who encouraged me, challenged me, taught me, and helped me to learn of God. I remember many, many years ago, in a little church, we were just getting started down in Othello, Washington. My dad started a church there. We used to rent an old theater building. And Sunday morning early, we'd go down and, you know, spray deodorant and sweep up. And I'd look on in the cracks and stuff and see if I could find clean spit and offering and that kind of thing. But just a few years ago, I got a chance to meet a lady that used to be my Sunday school teacher many, many years ago. And this was a blessing to meet her after all these years. That was where God touched my heart. I realized that just being a preacher's kid wasn't enough. I needed Christ as my own Savior. And receiving this Lord there in Othello, and the Lord continued to work in my life. And so I want to thank God for some of those examples to me. And then I also want this morning just to carry that thought one step further. What kind of an example have I been? And some that I've had the opportunity to touch their lives and mention a few of them this morning. I guess I should have mentioned my father-in-law has been an example to me. When Susan was little, her folks didn't know the Lord, and her mom died when she was 5. Her father tried to find a new wife for 3 little kids, and nobody wanted to take on that kind of responsibility. But he had a housekeeper, an older lady, living with them and cooking and caring for the kids. And she told Cupid and wanted Leonard, or my father-in-law Leonard, to start dating the lady that ran the beauty shop where she went, who was also a widow. Well, he finally asked her out, and she said she wouldn't go with him because he wasn't a born-again Christian. And he had no idea what she was talking about, and couldn't understand that. But he started going to church and was saved, and they got married after that. But she wouldn't go out with him until he made that decision, which I think was a tremendous example. But my father-in-law, Leonard, learned to follow the Lord as an adult. He never got through grade school, but he became a deacon. He became a church member, faithful to God through his life, faithful to his wife. I remember after my wife's mother, that basically raised her and when she knew his mother, had a stroke, was completely paralyzed. My father-in-law, every day for the rest of his life, was at her bedside in the home where she remained for several years, and helped feed her, care for her, an example of love, love for God and love, an example of love. And I want to be that kind of example as well. An example to my own children and grandchildren. I mentioned just very briefly this morning the struggles my daughter is going through. We want to be an encouragement to her and her children and some of the things they're facing. Mention my son. I have a son named Timothy. A few years ago, I guess his dad was 15 now, I got an invitation to attend my son's ordination. We live in Brazil. He was being ordained in Michigan, and it wasn't possible to be there. But I took some of the Apostle Paul's thoughts written to Timothy some of the verses like I read, and I kind of paraphrased them from David to my son Timothy, and trying to encourage him. And it's been a challenge to me to be a kind of example to my son that I need to be, that I want to be. It's been several years ago now, too, that we received the birth announcement of my son Timothy's first child, and he is named Robert David. Robert was my dad's name. I'm David, and my Timothy wrote on the birth announcement that his prayer is that Robert would become the fourth generation Blazer pastor. And we don't know God's perfect will, but I want to be the example to that boy as he's growing, that he might desire, if God leads in that direction, to follow the Lord and become another pastor, or even a layman working in church, to learn and to transmit the message that God has given me to his children, another generation that isn't even born yet. And that's the challenge from Psalm 78, that we might be faithful to God who has been so faithful to us. And learning the examples of men like that, women, and transmitting those things that we are learning to children, grandchildren, to all believers. And Timothy, Timothy is challenged to be an example to the believer, not only to believers, to the unsaved, to all, that in some way, some would come to know Christ as Savior. Paul said, I want to be all things to all men, that in some way, some would come to know Christ as Savior. And that's been our desire for all these years in Brazil, over 40 years that we served there. And now as we serve in retirement in Iowa or other parts of this country, challenging people with the need of salvation, with the opportunity to learn and then transmit those same thoughts to others. And this morning, we're going to just challenge you with two thoughts. First of all, are we men and women of faith? I never want to be in a church service without saying, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to accept him. You need to know him. Because we can't be faithful to God if we don't know him, if we aren't part of his family, if we aren't children of God ourselves. And then, are we men and women of faith? Would we be listed in that list of the heroes of faith that we find in Hebrews 11? In some way, are we faithful to God in our lives? Are we living and giving God's word to the next generation? Are those that are growing up around us hearing and knowing so that they can transmit that message to their children, to another generation too, so that ones who haven't even been born yet, if God should tarry, would have an opportunity to be here and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our lives as well. And so this morning, as we close this service, as we go about our lives, the activities and all the things that are going to take place, are we willing to accept the challenge to be faithful to God ourselves, to be men and women of faith, and faithful men and women to our Lord, to our Savior, and the next generation can grow up hearing and have the opportunity to know Christ and to serve him in their own lives. And so this morning we close in prayer. That's my challenge to you. Do you know Christ? And if you do, are you faithful to him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for so much that you have done for us, for your faithfulness to from one generation to another. We thank you for those men and women who taught us your word, who were faithful to give to us the message of eternal life. We pray to you, Father, that we might also be considered faithful, sharing the good news of salvation with our generation, so that if you do tarry, even children unborn would have opportunity to hear and respond to the message of the gospel. God, and use us, we pray, Father. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.